Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of 1 Samuel, we finished chapter 7. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom starts the study with chapter 8 today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Foundation for the Bible stands.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, I hope you have your Bibles ready as we go into 1 Samuel chapter 8. In this short chapter of 22 verses, we will go through it and we'll see what the Lord has to say for us. And I hope that you do follow along. I trust you have your Bible ready, pencil and paper, so you can take notes and make notations of things. Sometimes you may have a question that you want to ask. And if that's the case, then make sure you note that question and then you send it in to us, either write us a letter or you can email it in so that we can answer that for you. Usually once a year we stop what we're doing and we have question and answer series. It's usually about 2 weeks long, and we would like to have your question on there. We don't ever name your name, so you don't have to worry about that. But you may have a question that the study of the Scriptures brings to your mind, and we would do our best to try to answer those questions for you. Now, also, I know that we have many listeners of the Lamp and Light radio broadcast in various areas around the world, but particularly in our United States here. And I know that, for example, through the Fundamental Broadcasting Network, as well as the 90.3 in the Haines City area and some other areas where people hear our broadcast on a daily basis. We would love to come and preach in your church, but we would ask that your pastor be the one that would call us, and that you say, well, what does it cost to get you up there? We'll just pay our expenses to drive up there and back, and of course, take care of our meals and give us a place to sleep, and that's all that we ask. And we'd love to come and preach at your church, and if your pastor would love to have us. Now, again, never put pressure on your pastor to bring me or anyone else in. He must pray and be sure that he brings in the people that God would have him to bring in. So don't put pressure on him for that. But let him know that we are available and we're going to be booking people and booking churches. And we know, for example, in the North Carolina, South Carolina corridor, there are quite a few churches that fall under our voice through their local radio stations, as well as in the Central Florida area. And so talk to your pastor and we can maybe work something out to come and speak to your people. It's interesting because in the past I've turned down revival meetings and other speaking engagements. I only go and speak at colleges for the most part. Or if my wife and I are taking a few days off and there's a church that would like me to speak during that time, I'll do it. But normally I just don't take outside meetings. This is something that we're starting that we want to do to help get the Word of God around the world and to be a blessing to local churches. And we want to be a blessing to your pastor. So have them contact us. Of course, we give you our address at the conclusion of each day's broadcast, our website. Your pastor can go to our website, hear my sermons, and see our services and pray about it and decide if it's what he would have in his church. Well, I hope you have your Bibles ready now. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we'll be looking here, beginning with the first three verses. As a matter of fact, if I was going to title these first three verses, I would probably title them, "If They Had Raised Them Right." That wouldn't have happened. Now, maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've said that. Maybe you've heard that about your own children. Maybe somebody said that to your parents about you. And that thing comes back. Well, if they had raised them right. Well, they're the preacher's kids. Have you ever heard that phrase about some rambunctious children or rebellious teenagers? Perhaps you've heard, well, if they would just do such and such a thing, that wouldn't happen. Well, I know those things come up. There's an old allegory told of three men who weren't quite, you might say, with it academically or mentally. And they were applying to be detectives with the police agency. And so, to test their skills in recognizing a suspect, the first individual was told to look at a picture for 5 seconds, and then it was hid. He says, "This is your suspect. How would you recognize him?" Well, the first one answered, "Oh, that's easy. We'll catch him fast because he only has one eye." Well, the interviewer said, "That's because the picture shows his profile. You only see it from one side." He said, "Man, that's ridiculous." And so he gets the second guy up there, and the second guy looks at it in the 5 seconds, and then he says, "How would you recognize?" He said, "Oh, that'd be real easy. He only has one ear." And there's that interviewer thinking, "What's the matter with these two folks? It only has one eye and one ear," he tells him, "showing because it's a picture of his profile." Well, he brings in the third one, and he says to them, "Okay, now, you look at this picture 5 seconds, and then you think hard before you answer, and tell me, how would you recognize him?" Well, the third person says, "The suspect wears contact lens." Well, the interviewer was surprised, but he really didn't know himself if the suspect wore contacts or not. So he said, "Wait here a minute." Goes in, checks the file, comes back in, says, "Wow, I can't believe it. It's true. The suspect does, in fact, wear contact lenses. That's good work. How were you able to make such an astute observation?" "Well, that's easy. He can't wear glasses because he has only one eye and one ear." Well, as bad as that is, and as ignorant as that seems to be, and it is ignorant, and we laugh about that allegory, but it pretty well illustrates that it's just as ignorant sometimes when you hear people say, "Well, if they had raised him rightly, if they had raised her rightly." Well, our text tells of a godly, obedient preacher that had some rebellious children, although he raised them rightly. So I hope I have your attention now as we start in these first three verses. Let me read those verses to you, and then we will proceed to go through them. "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment." Well, the godly Samuel is seen here with sons who have turned aside. And Samuel's sons, according to the divine record, are not walking in his ways. They're wicked, you might say, since they are taking bribes. They're perverting judgment. He made them judges. Somebody says, "Well, you think that that was nepotism?" Probably not. Samuel had traveled all over Israel, teaching the law and righteousness. His sons traveled with him. They would be good students. They would learn much. They, of all people in Israel, would probably have the best training. Samuel was a godly, obedient man of prayer. He did not make the mistakes of Eli. He was there. He saw what was wrong with Eli and his sons. He obviously gave his sons both proper training and restraint. And we see nothing of the sin of Eli's sons that are mentioned about Samuel's son. Those sins are not in them. They were stealing the food, so to speak, that was supposed to be sacrificed, and then they were living immorally and doing immoral things with the women that would come there by the place of worship. But Samuel's sons did not those things. But what we are told in verse 3 is that his sons walked not in his ways. That is, they did not walk in Samuel's ways. Now, Samuel's ways were righteous. Now, my friend, one is not walking in righteousness if he does not live it and proclaim it. Abraham had children who wandered from God. Yet, he knew Abraham would command his household after him. The Bible tells us that clearly in Genesis chapter 18, that Abraham would command his children, his household, after him. So if the Bible says that Abraham would do it, obviously, he did it. The Bible's never wrong. And yet, he had many children who went wrong. Now, the word ways here speaks of an established path. In other words, Samuel taught it, and he lived it. And you'll notice verse 3 states that the sons turned aside. Now, something to understand is this. One cannot turn aside from something if they were never with that something. You can't turn aside from it if you weren't with it. If Samuel had not taught them, disciplined them, trained them in the way they should go, they could have never turned aside away from a place they had never been. Eli's sons are not said to have turned aside. For example, I'm not the president of the United States, so I can say, I turned aside from being president of the United States. Well, you would laugh, and rightly so. Now, if I had been president and I resigned, I decided, no, that's not for me, then I had turned aside. And so it's important. There are no mistakes in the Bible, and there are no loose words. Every word is meant, and there's a purpose for every word. They turned aside. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.